you got quiet. I guess you thought we were going to start. Good morning and welcome. We're so glad you're here, that you made it out in this weather. Our pastors, Paul and Stacy Simpson Duke, are in Georgia. And Paul will return next weekend. Stacy is staying a few extra days because her father is having a cardiac procedure on Friday, and she wants to make sure he's settled before she comes back. We are so pleased that we have our friend Heather Entrekin, who has agreed to offer our message this morning. Heather and Peter moved here a little over a year ago, and from Kansas City, where Heather was on staff, faculty for Central Theological Seminary. And we have been so blessed this year with their participation in friendship and cookies. More about Heather is on the back of your bulletin. And we thank Heather for sharing her preaching gifts with us today. After worship, we have a time of fellowship downstairs, refreshments. We hope you will join us. It's a chance to meet and catch up with one another. There are no second hour classes, so you'll have a lot of time to relax and chat before you have to go out in the cold again. Note the announcements in your bulletin, schedule of events. Most things are starting not this week, but the following week. Children and youth stay in worship this morning. We do have childcare available in the Sunday school classrooms for the younger kids. We also invite you after worship, and you can go down and get a cookie and a cup of coffee for an undecorating party. It's time to take down our wonderful Christmas sanctuary decorations, and we will be doing that after worship, probably starting about 11:15. So like I said, you can get your coffee and your cookie and then join us. We gather today in worship because we have heard the tidings of great joy, and our hope has been found in a manger. God has been revealed to us in the light and joy and love that came down at Christmas and surrounds us in the new year and forever.
Thank you. If you are able, please stand. God, we give you thanks for your child Jesus, who was born of a woman and grew in strength and wisdom to fulfill the yearnings of all who long to be adopted as your children and heirs. We come together now to worship you. Give praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in the highest heaven.
Praise God, all the angels, and all the hosts of heaven.
Praise God, sun and moon, and all you shining stars.
Praise God, mountains and hills, fruit trees and evergreens, wild animals and cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together,
But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Turn to 179 in the book of Sense, Song, and Echo.
As you join me in prayer, I want to alert you. I'll be using a little bit different format than usual. Instead of one silent prayer, I'm going to pause three times within the prayer for you to offer your silent individual prayers. God of the past and of the future, in the light of our joys and in the shadows of our struggles, we go through each day with the knowledge of your steadfast love and your presence with us. Help us as we begin this new year to do so with thanksgiving because you journey with us. With thanksgiving for the reminders of your love that we find in family and friends and have found in those loved ones no longer with us. With thanksgiving for the unexpected joys which surprise us and for those moments of contentment we find in our ordinary routine. In deepest gratitude for all the abundant goodness in our lives, we lift these prayers of thanksgiving. God of the past and of the future, in this new year, we do not leave behind the darkness. People are still lost to the devastations of war and terror. Acts of senseless violence persist. We do not leave behind poverty, hunger, persecution, deprivation, or injustice. And your creation suffers from neglect and destruction. Yet we are blessed with hope. We are reminded that you are God, a God that does not give up, that yours is a love that offers transformation and comfort, that your grace can strengthen us to persevere. Hear our prayers for the healing of our world. God of the past and of the future, there is so much we cannot control, and at times we are frustrated or confused by our own circumstances or of those, the ones we care about. People we love are afflicted with illness of body or mind or addiction. There are challenges of parenting, the losses of aging, grief, loneliness. We pray now for these we know to name. May they feel our prayers and your comfort. The Foster and Jordan families, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Robert Simpson, Leah Grange, Dottie Kassler, Robert, Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Nancy Krivak, Kim and Jason Weaver, Valerie Nebbia, David, Claudio Lima, Miliana, Jim Terrace, Jan Johnson, Barb, Mike, Ray and Ava Goff. And now we lift these prayers for ourselves, our loved ones, our friends. Many terrors threaten our world and sometimes even challenge our faith. Yet in this place, at this time, we are reminded that your light will shine in darkness. You are with us in joy and in sorrow. You meet us wherever and whenever we open our hearts to you. We offer now our commitment to you for this new year, our covenant to strive to grow closer to you so that through us may your hope find its way into the world. And may we serve as ones who follow Jesus, the light who has come to our darkness, who gave us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Reading from the book of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord. I invite the children now to come to the front for a time as children.
Any of your parents wake you up by saying, "Good morning, sunshine, rise and shine"?
No?
You have an alarm clock, you wake yourself up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, would you rather wake up to rise and shine? Then beep, beep, beep. Dr. Andrikin read a scripture that says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Last Sunday, we celebrated Jesus' birthday party, right? We had a nice birthday party. Yeah. And that's because Christmas is all about Jesus' birthday, Jesus coming to the world. Jesus is the light that scripture is talking about. Yeah, light to our world. So how can we shine? How can we rise and shine? All right, little science lesson, and I'm glad I've got some big kids because I don't think this is going to be a surprise for you. How does the moon shine? Does the moon have its own light? Okay, Derek, say it again.
It reflects off the sun.
The moon does not have its own light. The moon is a dark ball of rock. But It shines very brightly, right? I could see it last night through some of the clouds. Yeah, it shines very brightly because it reflects the sun. We can rise and shine by reflecting God's love and joy and peace. We rise and we shine reflecting what Jesus brought to the world. So, as you go to this new year, I want you to think when you wake up every single day, how can I rise? How can I shine? How can I reflect God's love? Let's say our prayer. God, we thank you for Jesus, and we ask you to help us be your light and love like Jesus did. Amen.
We had been looking forward to hearing the Reverend Beth Foster preach this morning. Her brother, Wally Jordan, died this week, and she was not able to be here. She is disappointed in not being able to share with us this morning. So let us continue to hold this family in prayer and be a healing family and community for them. God, we thank you for inviting us to this place to be your people together. We pray for the foster family that there may be grace and healing for them in this season. We pray that we might come to you with open hearts and minds and willingness to act as we receive the gift of your presence and word. In Jesus' name, amen. Arise, or in the translation of Eugene Peterson, get out of bed. Shine, your light has come. Isaiah gives us great words for the celebration of Epiphany, the church day that is all about the appearance, the manifestation, the showing, the sign of God, light in the dark place. Not to confuse anyone, Epiphany is actually next Sunday. But given the darkness of this season and of the world in which we are living, perhaps it will not hurt to speak of Epiphany more than once. We could think of this as a prequel. And Paul, not the Paul, the writer of the epistles, but Paul, the pastor, co-pastor of our church, said it was okay. So today is all about Epiphany. The traditional story has the wise ones following a star from a very far and strange place to Bethlehem. One of my all-time favorite Christmas cards shows the three wise men on the road in the dark and their camels, and one of them is off his camel and he's looking at a map, and the other one is looking up saying, "Which star was it again?" And another one is saying, "I thought it was that way." And underneath, the caption says, "We three kings, disoriented are." Which is what happens when you're in the dark. Which is where the people of Judah are for whom Isaiah is writing. Discouraged, dispirited, disoriented, disappointed after the trauma of exile, long period of dislocation. They're now struggling to figure out who they are, how to rebuild community, how to find leaders they can trust, what to do about all the factions that are threatening to tear them apart, how to get to that place that Galatians describes, where they are safe and beloved, where they belong, where they have found their way into the secure, loving arms of God, like children. The dark is a symbol for lots of bad and chaotic stuff. But of course, it's not all bad. It is also a place of gestation and creation. Think womb. Genesis says, in Eugene Peterson's wonderful translation, God brooded over the inky blackness and spoke light. But it's not a place you want to stay. It's not where you want to be stuck. The light calls us, and we need the light of God, for life. So the Magi are the traditional story of Epiphany, and light is the enduring symbol, the light of the world. God's own self appears to these strangers from far away, which is another significant detail in the story. God appears as a newborn, this little human in a manger. The wise ones follow a light, and they find a light, and then they become light. by going home a different way. Remember that part of the story? By refusing to get sucked in to Herod's violent regime. There is darkness, if ever you wanted to see darkness. They go home a different way. A very small thing. It's something that they don't do, actually. They don't go back to Herod. And it makes a huge difference in what is to come. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and you shall see and be radiant. There is something about light. No wonder this is the symbol that is given to us. Peter and I moved here a little over a year ago, here to Saline from Kansas City. And for Christmas, we loaded one of the trees in our front yard with lights. We lit it like a tree that we saw in Kansas City that we loved. Every night, we took a walk through the neighborhood and we passed this blue spruce that the couple had lit for Christmas with big lights and tiny lights, every single branch loaded. So we did that with our tree when we came. And the tree back in Kansas City, we looked forward to it on those walks, and no matter how cold or how snowy, we always stopped to admire the beauty and the wonder of all that light in the darkness. It turns out that one of our new neighbors did the same thing with the tree that we lit here in Saline, and that's how we met her. If lights on a tree can stir the soul and bring people together, how much more the light of God? No matter how thick the darkness, how gummy, how much it sticks to you and seems like it will never go away, no matter how much fear, loneliness, shame, grief, guilt, pride, greed, all those things that separate us from God and from one another, the light of God will dawn. It will shine upon you and then within you. Light enough to bring nations together. That was the promise. That is the promise. And God starts small. As pastor at Prairie Baptist Church in Kansas City, I was once telling a story to the children. When a beam of light came through a window right in front of one of the little boys sitting on the floor, Jonathan. And although the story that I was telling, I'm sure was fascinating, there was a little speck of dust that got caught in that beam of light, and it glowed like a piece of gold. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see that little piece of dust just gently moving in the air, and Jonathan focused on it completely and reaching out to touch and bring the light. Jonathan grew up and got to high school, and all the way he was a kid who looked for the good, looked for the gold, looked for the light in persons. Not just in specks of dust, but in real persons. And when he was a junior, he was diagnosed with bone cancer, which he survived after a traumatic year more in the hospital than out of it. And then this past year, we celebrated his marriage to Meg. And at the rehearsal dinner, his dad told this story about Jonathan. His dad, Tim, was there on one of Jonathan's worst days in the hospital. He was suffering with mouth sores and nausea and pain everywhere and discouragement. And doctors and nurses were in and out, prodding and poking. But in the midst of all of it, Jonathan noticed an orderly who came in and cleaned up a mess and left. And Jonathan tried to thank him, but he worried that the man hadn't heard him because it was so hard for him to speak and there'd been so much commotion in the room. So he insisted that his father find him and thank him. So his dad, who just happens to be a well-known, highly respected neurosurgeon in the community, raced down the corridor to find an orderly to say thank you. Surely, this is what it means to be light. To dispel a bit of darkness. And each of us has our own darkness and our own way of becoming the light that the world needs. And all of us together as a church have our own way to become that light. I saw it again this last week. My nephew and his girlfriend were here and went out to dinner to celebrate her birthday. It was a nice restaurant, but the server was not the greatest. Maybe disappointed that he could see that the tab was not going to be very big. But when it came time to pay, Scott gave his full, usual, generous 20% tip. He does it because, as his girlfriend said, it's not so much about the server as it is about Scott. Someone who has waited tables himself, who knows how hard that job is, he chooses to be a person of empathy, of kindness, of grace, of generosity, of light. So small, this light. So little. So insignificant, it seems like, when God appears. Friends, let us give now with light hearts. The ushers will come to receive our offering.
Check, Carol.
Thank you, God, for gifts more than we can name or number, for the ability to give to others. We thank you for the beauty and the goodness of your light in our lives. Give us courage, ability, grace to choose light wherever we can. In Jesus' name, amen. To bless a person is to call forth something good for them. What a gift it is that we have now to bless one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.